Thank you, Stan. You know, it's really a pleasure to be here, not necessarily in the podium, but to be able to see your smiling faces again. It's been a while. And after that beautiful song our brother sang, I feel like I could sit down. Because we do know that he liveth, and grace and power is in his hand. How true. I have a subject tonight. I prayed quite some time over the subject, knowing that God knows the needs of his children. And yet, I continue to come back to the same subject. A subject that I had an experience on not just a few weeks ago, as I was walking home from the church. A subject come to my mind, and the thoughts that I should bring out, and the very scriptures. I went back to church. My brother Brian McIndoo preached it. Even used the same examples that came to me. I thought, well, with a job like that, I better think of another subject or call for another subject, but I was called to talk on it again. And it's been bugging me for quite some time, and when I was asked last year to write an article for the Hand of Fellowship, I wrote on part of it. I wrote on the scripture that says, in the last days, that the gospel of the kingdom would be preached in all the nations, kindred tongue and people. In the 24th chapter of Matthew. The gospel of the kingdom is also referred to as the gospel of God, referred to as the gospel of Christ. And it's a gospel that hasn't been watered down or changed or altered by man. It's a gospel, like Peter said, the prophecy came not by man. But when holy men were moved upon by the power of the Holy Ghost to pen. How true that is. And that from the beginning of man down through the ages of time, like my brother Brian brought out, there's always been a law. There's a law if you go down and you have to pass a test if you want to have a driver's license. And if you violate that law, if they catch you doing 75 miles an hour in a 15 mile an hour school zone, they're going to pull you over and write you a ticket. There's laws in everything that we do. There's laws. It doesn't make any difference what it is. If I'm not mistaken, we have a sister here that was taking a test today for her citizenship. There's laws. There's laws in all things. And you know, I think about those things, and I see the different ones that's been here that in the different things that they do that they chose for life, there were do's and don'ts in it. And I'm here to state to you there's do's and don'ts in the law of God. You can't get away from them. And not only am I surprised, I listened to my brother Jay preach on the word. And he went to the 119th Psalm, where it talks about the word. And he said that he was moved because my brother Frank Fan had preached on that when he was in the Philippines. Which is an answer to my prayer, Brother Frank. Because when our servants, when our brothers are in the field, I constantly ask God to hold you in all of their holy hand, to bless your administrations, and to give you liberty of thought and expression and what should be taught. wherever you go, because it varies, as you know. And I find that you preach on the Word, and how beautiful that is. Because it's so important to each of us in this room, because by the Word is how we know God. It's by the Word that we know the do's and don'ts of our life. It's by the Word that we recognize the path to eternal life, the goal that I hope we have set for ourselves to enter in the kingdom of heaven. It's by that Word. And so I was rejoicing there, even as we said in our conference there, and in the last part of the conference, why we had one here that we read and spread upon the minutes, and it came from my grandson that said here they were going to bake a cake. They didn't have how to do it, but they found how to do it in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. It's an effective object lesson on how we cannot go throughout life without God's Word as instruction. How true. How true. There's no way to go through life and enjoy the life and the peace and the harmony and the happiness that God had intended for those who believe in Him without following the instructions of God. When you violate those instructions, then it's just like when you're going through the school, you pay for it. And so oftentimes you pay for it in the lack of knowledge and wisdom. You pay for it. That Word of God is so important to our life. It is life. How would we know about God? How would we know the birth of Christ? How would we know that He was the Son of God if we didn't have the written Word that edified us and the Spirit that caressed our hearts and bore witness of those things? How would you know? How would we know if we closed our ears and didn't listen to the voice of the Son of God when He said, "These things which are teached not of Me, but the Father which sent Me"? So that we would understand and know without a shadow of a doubt that God loved each of us in this room and those out there in the world enough to see to it that He not only said, "I have a way and I have a place prepared for you," but this is the way. This is how you recognize a path that you must walk to come and live with Me. That's what you and I carry around. Like Jay said the other night, he held him up and he said, "You know," he says, "this is the way. We're going to be judged by these," the Scripture says. Over in the 20th chapter of Revelation and the 12th chapter of the second book of Nephi, he says the books were open and the book of life was open, and they were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And when he said that, it doesn't mean whether you can put a shingle on a roof or not. I found out sometimes you get a little older, it don't go so easy. But he's talking about the spiritual life of an individual. He's talking about the spiritual works, whether we have believed in Christ, whether He is important to us or not, and the law that He taught is essential to our soul's welfare. That's what it is. It's not something off the wall, but it's been taught, and that law has been taught all through the generations of time, down to our time right now. And I want to read in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to do some reading tonight, so if you're going to follow me along, we have to move because I've got things I want to bring out. I'm going to read in the page 8 in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to read the 82nd and the 83rd verse. And you know, our brother talked about last night, he talked about our young people. I'm going to talk to you young people tonight. And I'm going to talk to you old people, and you middle-aged, and you teenagers, I'm going to talk to you because you're all of the human family of Adam, who is to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of us that has gathered here this day is his children. And the desires of his heart is to save us. The desire of his heart is that you and I have the power to resist Satan, to not allow him to just work with us, like my son read today there when we were over at the East Local about the wind of Satan that blows the children of men around. And you know, it's important. It's important that we endure to the end in that word. How important that is. Because when we read in the Book of Mormon, that was read in several times and referred to there today, you read where if they held on to that rod of iron, which he says is the Word of God, if we held on to that rod of iron, we went to the tree of life. And they partook of that pure love of God. But you know something? They fell away and were lost because of the mocking finger of the world. That mocking finger is still active today in your life and mine and everywhere you go. We have to build a resistance against the mocking finger. We have to be permanently set on the rock, which is Christ. And know that the mocking finger in reality can't hurt you. That it can't bother you unless you allow it to take you away from the Lord where you fall away and are lost. It doesn't. I'm going to read the 82nd and the 83rd verse. He says, "And behold, it is wisdom in God. We should obtain these records." That's when they were sent back to get those records, Nephi and his brothers. And we know that Laban fought them and did all kinds of stuff and tried to kill them. We know that he took all their gold and everything that they took down there and he still run them off. "That they might preserve our children," the language of their fathers. "And also that they might preserve unto them the words which hath been spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets, which hath been delivered unto them by the Spirit and power of God since the world began, even down to this present time." Now this was 600 B.C. But however, there was a law, even in the Garden of Eden. It says you don't touch that fruit and neither do you eat it. There has always been a law in God, the one that created us and breathed the breath of life within us. He has always had a way. Always. And that way we must find and lay hold to and keep hold of it and not allow anything or a mocking finger of the world or friends or whoever they are to mock us away from that. That Christ, that Son of God, that only begotten of the Father, that came and gave his life that you and I might have life. And you know the beautiful part about that? That he suffered and he died on the cross. But you know, before he died on the cross, he brought forth all that was necessary and taught all that was necessary to save the souls of the children of men. He didn't leave out anything. He didn't forget anything. He taught those things that was essential for the welfare of our soul. And it's important that we realize that. I want to go over now to the To the 11th verse, page 11. I'm trying to hurry along here. Please excuse me. And there on page 11, I'm going to read from 110, maybe through 120. He says, "And it came to pass that I was constrained by the Spirit that I should kill Laban." That's when he was drunk. And he didn't want to kill him, did he, Glenn? No. And sometimes we're asked of God to do things that we'd rather not do. But it's important that we obey Him. It's important that we listen to what He instructs us to do. But I said in my heart, never at any time have I shed the blood of man, and I shrunk, and would that I might not slay him. And the Spirit said unto me again, behold, the Lord hath delivered him into thy hands. Yea, and I also knew that he had sought to take away mine own life. Yea, and he would not hearken unto the commandments of the Lord. And he also had taken away our property. And it came to pass that the Spirit said unto me again, slay him, for the Lord hath delivered him into thy hands. Behold, the Lord slayeth the wicked to bring forth the righteous purposes. The Scriptures are full of it, isn't it? That he protected those who believed in him, that endeavored to strive to walk in the way that he has prescribed, and not in their own way, not rebellious, not refusing to hear, but have left their ears unstopped and have kept their eyes clear to see the path. And to hear the word of God. To follow after him. The 115th verse. It is better that one man should perish than a nation should dwindle and perish in unbelief. Brothers and sisters, at the time that this was written, there wasn't a Book of Mormon. At the time that this was written, there wasn't a New Testament gospel because Christ hadn't been born yet. Yet there still was a law, the Mosaic law, and the law of the prophets down to Jeremiah to edify the children of men that in every period of time that they could know His will and walk after the way that God has prescribed for eternal life. And he said, listen, you take that with you over there, oh, that land of promise, over to that land of Joseph, so that you don't dwindle in unbelief. And I'm here to bear witness to you tonight, if you're not carrying the Word of Christ, the book that He has preserved for us, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, if you aren't carrying them and studying them, then you will dwindle in unbelief. And a nation will fall. And he tells us that. I heard today where somebody said, it seemed like that, where they said, and you know, it's important that we understand that, you know, the Lord said that if this nation falls away, it was going to be destroyed because whatever nation possesses this land will worship the God of the land, which is Jesus Christ. Or when they ripen in iniquity, they shall be swept off the face thereof. How often in the last days behind you and today have you thought, you know, what is it to ripen in iniquity? He must be close. Because this nation has turned away from the God of the nation. It has come in with abortions where they murdered little babies. People, oh, they have a right. You know, those women have a right to choose. Why don't they read the first chapter of the prophets? You know, Jeremiah, in the first chapter, the Lord said, you know, I knew you. He says, before you was even your mother's belly, I knew you. Does that not tell us that at the time of conception that God sent that life? You bet. That's the beautiful part about that gospel That's the beautiful part about that gospel, that whatever nation or person or individual or group of people that don't hold to the Word of God have lost their way. They walk blindly. They can't see. They're in trouble. Because He's the one that brings these things out. We have in this nation what they call homosexuals. This nation better read the first chapter of Romans and see what the Scriptures and the Lord has to say about homosexuals, where He says they're subject to death, spiritual death. He names them women with women and men with men. Yeah, He names them. The Scriptures is our guide. It provides our way. It's the one that directs us to the way that we must travel. It's the Scriptures that plots the course to eternal life. Those of you that's in here, I don't see some of you there that I know that they fly airplanes. You guys fly by a course. If you're running boats, you run by a compass. When I was in the service, I run patrol boats, and you run by a compass because sometimes the fog was so thick you couldn't see in front of your face. But if you held on to that compass, you could continue to travel and miss the shoals and go about them and be saved. Those of you that fly do the same thing. And He has plotted the course for us. Jesus Christ has plotted the course for us. And He says, this is what my Father said, so you'll know Him. And my Father loves you. And He sent me, His only begotten Son, to die for you. And He sent Him to live for us as an example. How beautiful. That we can go to the Scriptures and see the life of Christ. And where even whatever they did, it didn't make any difference. It didn't bother Him a bit. When I was in Africa with Buzz, had a guy come over and spit on me. Didn't he? Yeah. But you know they did that with the Lord. That doesn't make any difference. What makes a difference is that we hold fast to the Word of Christ. We hold fast. My brother Dan. Yeah. Did you listen to his testimony the other day? He says, you know, every time that old Satan tried to come against Christ and tried to tempt Him and everything, every time he says, for it is written. When he says, hey, you've been up there for 40 days and 40 nights. Turn those rocks to stone. And he says, hey, man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how we live. That's how we know the way. That's how we know to travel. That's what drops the scales from our eyes that he speaks of. There in Revelation, it says, you know, here you are, you know, and you think, boy, everything's fine, everything. And he says, you're naked. You're poor. Unless you're clothed by the power of the Almighty God. To where we're like when he says, you come back to the wife, and the wife has made herself ready, and she's clothed in white raiment. And that white raiment is the righteousness of the saints. That's us. My brother Jay said, you know, I believe that you're the children of God. I believe that. I believe that we're called to be the royal priesthood. I believe that the priesthood that stands in this podium to speak to you should know how to set the table for the sheep that they eat on the living manna that would sustain the soul. give you strength. The strength to resist Satan. You know, the scriptures tell us that we can walk in the manner that Satan would flee before us. Do we believe that? I do. Because I've seen Satan rebuked. And the evil spirit go. I believe the power of Christ can do that quickly. That's why it says when you're having problems, tell him, get hits behind me, Satan. You got a buddy, a friend, that's going to support us when we challenge Satan and his authority. Yeah, he's a master deceiver and he's a father of lies. But God, the eternal Father, he's the Father of truth and the Father of light. And the Father that directs our feet to eternal life. That's what he is. Yeah, he's the one. Just like we heard our brother sing tonight. He's the one that has the power to do that. Bar none. And so every morning that we wake up, we have cause to rejoice and be happy because we have a God of love that has looked over us through the night. That we have a God of love that we can go and visit with, and He cares. And He's interested in our trials and our problems and our tribulations. And He's also interested in the desires of our heart to be obedient to Him and to love Him with all our might, mind, and strength. Yes. And to love our neighbors as ourselves. To love those who are our enemies. To pray for those who would despitefully use us and persecute us. Did you ever do that? It's hard sometimes, isn't it, Sam? It's not easy. But it is a commandment of the Lord. That's the problem. We have before us now two books that has come forth that doesn't just carry it down to Jeremiah, but has the holy words of the Son of God. In many Bibles written in red letters. To edify us and to teach us that that's the way to eternal life. And there is no other way, the scripture says, and no other name given under heaven why we can be saved. How true. How direct. Isn't that beautiful that the Lord don't go and you ask him questions. Well, you know, I think, you know, I'll think about that. And he never beats around the bush. He gives it straight. He gives it straight and dead on. He doesn't beat around the bush. He didn't come to deceive you. He came to save us. And we have to keep that in mind. That he come to edify us about his Father in heaven. That is full of love and mercy and compassion. And he's like him. And he's willing to help us. He's willing to lift us up. He's willing to strengthen us. He's willing to guide and direct us if we will seek him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He'll direct us. That's his promise. If he doesn't direct and if he doesn't edify his ministry, his shepherds, how would they know how to lead the flock? I know probably some of them here that have seen shepherds and seen sheep and things like that. I've seen herds of sheep of the thousand that they went and they had the shepherd and the dogs with them. And they saw to it that they took the sheep where there was a good bunch of grass and stuff for them to eat and where there was water for them to drink. And the Holy Scriptures takes us. Where there's a whole lot of living manna to eat and the living water to drink. And there's no other place to find it. It's only in Him. And we can look, like old Amos said one time during the 1260 years, he said they went from shore to shore and from sea to sea, looking for the words of the Lord and can't find them. But in this day of age, thanks be to God, he restored the gospel of Christ and brought it forth and had angels come down and ordain again the power of the priesthood and to teach the gospel of Christ upon the face of the earth. Thanks be to God, we have two books before us that testifies of his love and compassion and tells us of the path and tells us where he blazed a tree or that he built a tack of rocks to be sure that we would recognize the path to eternal life. So we have cause to meet and to praise his holy name because he was so concerned that he even sent his son to suffer, to die, yet to proclaim his holy word in the way to eternal life. What more could we ask? What more could we ask? How beautiful it is that he worried about me, he worried about you. He worried about those that went before us and those who are going to go after us. He's worried about the ones that you rub elbow down at the grocery store or you kids at school. They're all his children, wherever they're at. Whether they would be Russians, whether they'd be German, whether they'd be Chinese, whether they'd be Indians, or I should say Manassanites. No, he's interested in his children. And all those that grace the earth, all those of the whole human family of Adam, that's everybody. Everybody. He says will be judged of their works, whether they be good or evil, and also that they will have the gospel of Jesus Christ among them. That's why the Book of Mormon says that when that time comes, that this gospel is going to go out in all the world. Doesn't it, Sam? And he says, when that time comes, he says, there won't be anybody that's blameless. Only little children. That time's coming. Some of us, I would say, in this room will probably live to see it, especially some of you young people. I don't know whether I will or not. But I can tell you one thing. It's going to happen because God said so. Those things that we read in the scriptures, don't ever set them aside and think, oh no, that, you know, this old world changing, you know, it's different. It don't make any difference how it changes. If God said it's going to take place and it's going to happen, well, it's just like the old saying you hear, you can take that down to the bank because that's the way it's going to be. That's why he said, none of these things shall come back unto me void, but they shall go forth and suit my pleasure. And that's why these records have been preserved for you and I, like Sam said the other day, because he said if it's not according to the law and the testimony, there's no light in them. But here is the law and the testimony that he has preserved for us. This is them. That you and I could know the way and we didn't have to worry about a lot of things because here's your answers. These are your answers. This is where we find the answers. It's not in something that's written by the wisdom of man. That's why in 2 Timothy, he tells you over there, he says, you know, he says, all scripture. He didn't say part of the scripture. He said, all scripture is written by the inspiration of God. If that's so, who has a right to alter it or change it or delete from it or add to it? If all scripture is given by the inspiration of God to bring us to righteousness, who has a right to alter it? That's what's wrong, because when he tells you over in the 24th chapter of Matthew, he says that gospel of the kingdom, the true gospel, the way of Christ, the way of God, the way that hasn't been altered and changed by the power of man and the wisdom of women and men. But we got a lot of women preachers today too. You know? It's not going to be altered and it's not going to be changed. And he says that there's not even a shadow of changing. I don't know if you can see a shadow here someplace, but if I move 1/1,000,000,000 of an inch, it'll cast a shadow. James says not even a shadow of variance. Mormon, in the Book of Mormon, as he was writing, he says not even a shadow of changing. And then he went on in the 82nd verse there, and he says, you know, if God changes, he ceases to be God. But he doesn't cease to be God. And he is a God of miracles. How true. I look at you, my brothers and sisters, and I see people and faces of those who have witnessed those miracles, have felt the power of that Spirit and the directing, that has a witness of those things that he has promised and have directed. We don't want to be like the house of Israel and forget them. I don't care if my shoes would never wear out, my clothes never wear out, but I don't want to stay 40 years in the desert. I want to cross the River Jordan. I want to go into the land that was dedicated to him by the power of God. I know we're in that land. I know where we're at. And I know the promises it has for you and I, if we will but heed to them and listen to them. That's how important they are, that we would listen to them and give heed. And that's something that we have to depend upon, is the Holy Scripture. Otherwise, how would we know about Christ? How would you know that he was born of a virgin? How would you know that he was crucified and he rose the third day? How would you know? How would you know that Mary saw him in the garden? He says, touch me not, for I have not yet gone to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. How would you know these things if he hadn't preserved the word for us? That's why it's so essential. When I'm out teaching the gospel, I tell them, don't take my word for anything, because you aren't going to be judged by my word unless the things that I teach you are scripture. So I want you to read it, so you know that's what it says. And somebody gets on you day after tomorrow and you can't remember where it's at, you might not, but you can remember that you read it. That's the important thing. That God preserved it so you could read it and know. And yes, there are times that we read things, we don't understand them. Sometimes we go different directions. Yeah, that's true. But he's a patient God. And he says, seek, and you'll find. He says, knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. He says, ask, and it shall be given. He has always provided that open door that my son talked about. That door is still open for those who seek to know Jesus Christ and the Son of God, who seek to keep their feet in the path and to travel in the way that is necessary for eternal life, who seek to enter into the waters of baptism and to repent and to do so and to have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and to put on Christ, like the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians, that you put him on. Boy, what a beautiful garment when you put on the Lord. You're happy. You've got a joy in your heart. You have a hope. That gives you a hope. That gives you an understanding. That causes you to have faith. And that faith can turn into knowledge. With the experiences that you have, somebody's going to have to come along and say, well, you administer to them, and you know, they probably won't even be healed. And no, they're not. Well, there's an accident. And there's a, oh, no. You know that when you talk to God, He listens. When you approach Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. When you talk to Him, He listens. And some people say, well, I don't know. I prayed for my son, and I prayed for my daughter, and I prayed for these people, and that God would send the Spirit and everything. And He didn't hear me. They're still doing the same things they used to do and everything else. But you know something? He heard. If you approach Him properly. And He sent that Spirit because you asked Him to. But you have to remember that the person has the God-given right to reject the Spirit and not receive it. He can reject it, just like you and I can reject Christ. They don't have to receive it. Just like when the Book of Mormon tells you there in the 15th chapter of the second book of Nephi that they preach with authority and power and by the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost carried it to their hearts. But what did they do? They cast those words down and esteemed them as naught. Can you imagine that? That's hard sometimes for me to imagine. When that Spirit went and endeavored to embrace them and to bring them to that knowledge, and yet they cast it down and esteemed them as not any worth. They're not. But the world is that way. Some, they'll receive and they'll be moved by the touch of the power of the Spirit. And others, they won't give you any time, any heed. Or anything else. Sometimes they'll tell you, you know, get off my porch. Get off my sidewalk. Don't step on my grass and don't come back. Yeah, I've heard that. That's what they do. Because they haven't got a hold of the gospel of Christ that He says that keeps nations from dwindling in unbelief and peoples from dwindling in unbelief. And the beautiful part about here, we got two evidence. And two stories of the Son of God. One of them is over there where He was born, where our brothers and our sisters went here not too long ago, 32 of them. Boy, it'd be nice to go there, wouldn't it? And my son, he sang a song for Easter that I walked where Jesus walked. And I was talking to my brother Don McIndoo because he couldn't go and I couldn't go. And I told him, I said, you know, brother, I said, you and I walked where Jesus walked. When we walked among His people and down through the ruins, and when we were there, you could feel the Spirit of God. And Jesus walked among them and taught them. And so we had the opportunity to walk where Jesus walked. My brother there has as well. You've walked where Jesus walked. If you went to Ishmael and saw the red hands in the courtyard, going into the courtyards and everything else, and those are the hands of the bearded white God that came and raised the dead and caused the blind to see and the lame to walk and cast out devils. That's where Jesus walked. Amen. If you go to meet the crosses all through. Crosses even in their fences around their cities. Everywhere you go. And today, we walk where Jesus walks. If we take Him with us. If we're working for the Lord. He tells us that the period of time that we're told of in Jacob that the labors are few. And we're few and we continue to pray for more labors. But oh, what a promise, Brother Bob. He said that the Lord of the vineyard will go forth with them. And I bear witness that that's the truth. The Lord of the vineyard goes forth with you and He protects you, He directs you. And so oftentimes He even gives you the knowledge of things and understanding of even what you should preach. Like I was talking about my brother Frank back there. That you go where you prepare a sermon and you go there and you know you're not even going to preach it. You don't even know what you're going to preach till you stand to your feet. But God will let you know. And He directs you. He directs you. When I was down in Africa with my brother Buzz, we were at a local there, and I was scheduled to preach. And I began to preach, and the Spirit of the Lord told me to stop. Because there was a lady down there that needed to be administered to. Remember that, brother? And so I stopped, and Buzz says, what you doing? I said, there's a lady here that needs to be administered to. I'd never met him before in my life to that day, and I still hadn't met them. Well, who's that? And I said, it's the woman down there by that window down there. And so the brother Moses was with us. He called her up, and they administered to her. And later on, we found out she needed it so bad, and she wrote us a letter. Remember that, brother? I didn't know, but God did. God knows the needs of each one of us. And they vary. We all don't have the same needs. But God knows your needs. He knows where we're weak and He knows where we're strong. And He has the power to make the weakness become strong. He knows. You know why? He created us. And He breathed the breath of life in us. He created this old house that I live in. And the old house that you live in. That it'll lay down. And it says the flesh and blood don't enter in the kingdom of heaven. But that spirit, that life that lives inside has an opportunity to live with God and Jesus Christ. From all eternity to all eternity. That's what it's about. That's what we hope that the body of Christ will grow in. That's why I constantly pray for the body of Christ, and it will grow spiritually. That we can better feed the sheep. That we can better feed those wherever we go. And go with a greater spirit and power. And I've seen it. Yeah. I seen it down to that young fella's house right there. I saw that when we come out of Quintana Roo and administered to the sister in the hammock down to that house when he was a little boy. And the bone was stuck out and we pulled a foot and let the bone slide back in. And the next day we took her to the hospital after the administration and prayer, and they couldn't even find a crack. And don't ask me how he did it. But I can tell you that this servant right here saw it and witnessed it. Absolutely. I have seen and witnessed many things that has to do with the Spirit and the power of God. And I know there's other servants and sisters in here that have done the same thing. And so it's essential that we realize that that word was provided for so nations and people and individuals would not dwindle in unbelief. That's why these holy words have been brought together for us. That's why we have them, just like my brother Jay held them up and says, there they are. That's the truth. We have to depend on these. Because these is the compass that directs us to the eternal life. This is the one. These are the ones that tells us that if we do this, our feet are in the starting block of the race of eternal life. That's what it tells us. That's why it's important that we don't only carry it around or leave it on a shelf till it gets dusty, but we prayerfully read it. Prayerfully. Read it. And prayerfully ask God, if I form an opinion that is opposite of you, please take it from me. For I only have a desire to teach the truth and not cause one foot to go astray. That's important. That's important that we do that. I haven't even got started, and I'm going to have to quit.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Why? Well, because there's people that are tired, and I see it. And you know, even Christ recognized that the people got tired when he come over here, didn't he? And he told them to go home and come back tomorrow. Well, there'll be somebody that's going to preach tomorrow. And I know that there's been a lot of long things, and we got brothers and sisters tired here. And I haven't even hardly started. To tell you why these two books are so important to our life. And you know, it's the word that we have to hold fast to. If there wasn't any scriptures, how would you find the Lord? How would you find him, Randy? You're lost. You're lost. Those are the signs. Those are the directions that's essential for you and I to know the Lord and know how we're to walk and what we're to do. That's where we find it. We don't find it anyplace else. Nope. We can go all over, but you can't find it. And you know, we can read words and we can read books of those that are not part of the Church of Christ, and in history and in archaeology and some things, boy, some of them are really good. But when they get off on the doctrine of Christ, they're just as good as a hog in Sunday school. If they knew the word, they'd be a brother or sister of you and I. That's what they'd be. They'd come to the body of Christ. They'd want to be part of that wife. The place where there's to be no schism. A place where they're to be unified. A place where they help one another and pray one for another. That's the purpose of that. That's what it's about. And you know, there's so much there that... You know, it's like many of you here, and I know, I see Brother Sheldon back there, and I see brothers here, you know, that I know they've studied many more years than I have. And I find that the more I study, the more I learn. And I've been in it for a lot of years, and I'm still learning. But there's still that sweet peace of his Spirit that caresses your heart and causes you to have a joy because of the knowledge that you possess, though it might be small and minute, but that you possess that teaches you of the way of life and the very Son of God, and tells us that we can hold his hand, tells us we can call upon him. Tells us, like our brother was preaching and he felt somebody behind him. You bet. How many times have you been someplace and been doing things and you feel like you have someone with you? You can feel his holy presence. And you know that he is, without a shadow of a doubt. It's the scriptures that tells you that it's the truth that shall make you free. Here's the truth. I hold it before you. This is the truth that makes you free. This is the one that has the power. These are the books that has the power to edify each one of us, to know what's required of us, and to know that we can be yoked to our Savior and have help and be strengthened to know those things, and how important it is that we know those things. It's those things that tells us that God that God is the doctor of the soul, of the spirit. And if we're sick and we need a pill or inoculation, we get it through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to cure sin. It's impossible in any other way. He's the one that cures the sin in our heart and the desires of our heart to do aught. Him and Him alone. Because we're already told that the natural man is an enemy to God until he comes to Christ, until he comes to the Lord and believes. Then he can become a child of God. He can become a son and daughter of God. Isn't that something to think about? Is there anybody in this room that wouldn't want to be a daughter or the son of God? Isn't that something to think about? Can we possibly think how miserable we would be if we wasn't his son or daughter? How miserable we would be if we didn't know the power of prayer. How miserable we would be if we thought the only thing we could do is just talk and everything. But he's not interested in us. You know, he don't care what happens to us. That's not true. He suffered and died on the cross to verify to the world that he cared about us. And he said he'd draw all men unto him. And that's ladies too. Yeah. He's not going to force you to stay there. You can turn away from him just like the ones in the Book of Mormon that went up and took of the fruit of the tree of life and fell away and lost because of the mocking finger of the world. That doesn't mean you're going to stay there unless you continue and do as the scriptures say, endure to the end. If we don't endure to the end, the only ones we're fooling is ourselves. That's the only one. You know, there's a scripture. I'm not going to take the time to read it because I've gone past my time. But there's a scripture in the Book of Mormon that tells you, if you have read the scriptures, how can you not believe in the Son of God? How can you? When you read the scriptures and you're there and you see without a shadow of a doubt that the prophecies that he prophesied, that they have come true. Some of them's come through in your time, in my time. You bet. Some of them came through. You know, I heard some of the older brothers preach from time to time. My grandfather Yates, James Yates. I heard him preach that the day would come that the Jews would take over Jerusalem and it would be Israel again. And people laughed and snickered and they left there and said, "Oh, James Yates, boy, he's a powerful speaker." And you know, boy, he sure got off of things today. Well, old James Yates didn't live to see it. He died in 54. But his grandson that sat there saw it. I saw the 6 days. There are those of you that saw the Six-Day War and that servant of the Lord proclaimed it. And so it's important, brothers and sisters, that not only do we carry the books, but that we use them, that we don't dwindle in unbelief. Individually, collectively, and as a nation. That we have to take these books and we have to go to them. And it's just like the Book of Mormon says, and my brother Jay read it, and I'm not going to go to it, but he read it and he says, you know, it's just as easy to follow the gospel of Christ and the words of Christ as it is to follow the Lehona. It's just as easy, isn't it? Yeah, it's just as easy. Sometimes we don't think so. Sometimes we think it's pretty hard. But when they didn't follow the Lehona, They wandered and staggered all over the place. And when you and I turn loose with a rod of iron, we stagger all over the place because we have no support. God is our support. He's our strength. He's the one that protects our brothers when they're out in the field. He's the one that holds them up. He's the one that gives them liberty. He's the one that tells them when they've set things aside to destroy them. I can witness that because when I went to Yucatan with Brother Don, they set traps for us and we were warned not to go. We were warned they were coming in visions. Boy, I thought to myself, man, they must have really got discouraged because every time they set something up to get us, why, we always went somewhere else or did something else because the Lord directed us. Yeah, they must have really got discouraged. And my hope tonight is that the devil gets discouraged with you and I because we take the teachings of Christ and apply them to our life. For he can't control us. For he can't guide us away and lead us away from the gospel of Christ because we're founded and standing on the rock, even Christ. And don't ever think for a minute that we can't get there because we have a God-given right to be there. We have a God-given right to walk in a way that Satan would have to flee before us and we could rebuke him in the holy name of Jesus Christ and cause him to flee. Brothers and sisters, there's been several of your servants has talked on this word and how important it is, brothers. Several of your shepherds have brought out how important these are. Let's never lose the sight that he has preserved this word for you and I and for the world and this nation to know the God and to know the Son of eternal life.